You talked about, you know, accomplishment and the worldly perspective, and people think you're doing so great. Like you were in Germany, right? Three-story house, you know, you're accomplishing things. So God, there's a whole lot of other stuff that I'm skipping over in my career. I lost all my confidence by my second year of the G League. I was talking about quitting. I had depression for a month. End up with the Reno Bighorns. God sends this random trainer in my life, a little short Filipino dude, almost 5 foot nothing. And all he texts me every day is, Reggie, I believe in you. Reggie, you can make NBA. And this is when my confidence is in shambles. All that happens. Start playing well for Reno. Fifth year in the G League, I get called up to Detroit, right? And people would say, man, Reggie again, man. Two-way player with Detroit. Like, after 5 years in the G, he's in the NBA. Like, dang, this dude's living the life. Man, hell no. I was struggling, bro. Within 6 weeks of signing with Detroit, I think it was like January 15th, 2018, I'm in the mental hospital from February 21st to February 27th. So like 6 days, I'm in the hospital, man. And what I had not seen is that I had brought, like, the perfectionism was absolutely ingrained in me. And what had happened is I had met my now wife at the time. And there's probably elements of my childhood and dealing with my parents' divorce that I never knew were in me. So when it comes to relationships, my relationship with my now wife is only my second relationship I've ever had. The other one was in Idaho with a girl for about 4 months. I ended up breaking it off in the midst of like heavy mental health struggles that I was having. Those same mental health struggles start coming around when I meet my now wife. Panic attacks, heavy anxiety. And a lot of it came from like feeling like, you know, wanting to be perfect in a relationship. What does that mean, Norris? Like, you can't define perfection. Like, you know, there's going to be issues. Like, she's going to get mad at you sometimes. Like, you're going to fail. You're going to do things the wrong way. So meeting my now wife at the time and going through all that and feeling like, oh, I shouldn't be in this relationship with her. And, you know, can I be a good husband? And, you know, I started equating anxiety with God saying no. Which absolutely is absolutely not true. But because of my first relationship, I had heavy anxiety from that. Felt like God was telling me no. And maybe he was just saying like, you're not ready at the time, but I took it as no. And I have to completely cut her out of my life. And I gotta do this and do that. And I didn't do this good. And so all that comes back around when I now meet my wife as I'm heading towards Detroit. And so I'm taking all that with me into the hospital, and it seeps out from just the relationship with my wife into everything that I'm doing. Like, I can't do anything right. Like, it becomes crazy things. Like, okay, if I have to stay in the room today, I can't go to practice. I got to stay and spend time with God, man. I got to spend 5 days in here straight. If I don't do that, I'm going to hell. Like, crazy. Just off the wall stuff. And because a lot of it is surrounded by relationships, you know, my now wife is caught up in it. Cause I'm like, I have stuff in my mind. Like, okay, I've messed up with her so far. So, I gotta get myself right. I can't talk to her for 2 years. And then this idea of 2 years, like, for anybody who understands OCD and all that stuff, just comes ingrained in my mind. And it's like, you got to call her and tell her you can't talk to her for 2 years. It's like, why 2 years? I don't know. But my brain has just gotten to the point where it's like, it will only trigger this thought and it won't go away until, or at least in my mind, until I do something about it.
I just want to ask you, is that the only place that it showed up in your life and your relationship? Because you're pinpointing the symptoms, kind of those mm-hmm. type of things, but where else did it show up?
I think it would show up on the court. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I mean, I haven't used this term up to this point, but the desire for approval and perfectionism results in a lot of people pleasing. So as I'm coming to the Pistons and I spend a lot of time with the G League team, I know how guys can feel about two-way players, you know, coming down and taking your time. So I'm like, oh, I want to fit in with the guys, you know, So on the court, you know, I'm trying not to be too selfish. You know, I'm trying not to take bad shots. And that was always something that I think held me back in my career, is because I didn't want to be viewed as selfish. I want to be the great team guy, you know, the perfect team guy. And I mean, what is that? Like, you know, it's just so perfection just became this just unattainable standard. And it made my mind crazy. So it's showing up in sports. It's showing up in my relationship with my now wife. We weren't even dating. We were just friends, but we knew something was there. And so it all culminates in me, long story short, you know, feeling like I got to a point where I wasn't in control of my body, to the point where I came home to my apartment in Grand Rapids one night. And for some reason, I'd had a panic attack earlier that night. It's a crazy long story. I was supposed to go to Detroit. An intern drove me to Detroit. I had a panic attack when I got there. I told coach, I can't come to practice. I got to go back to Grand Rapids. I got to get away. Intern drives me all the way back to Grand Rapids. And this is like 2.5 hour drive. You're talking about like a 5 hour trip. I get back to my apartment, and on that ride, I kept having thoughts, kill yourself. And it was, I'd never had that before. But then I didn't feel like I could control my body. I got back to my apartment and went straight to the knife drawer, and I pick up the knife. And I don't even know what I'm doing, man. I'm like poking my stomach. I'm like holding it to my neck, and I'm like scared because I'm like, why am I doing this? I don't feel like I can stop. I got enough strength to like call my parents, who are about 2 hours away, 2.5 hours away in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I got some help from a church I was going to at the time. A guy from the church came over, sat with me, drove me all the way back to Detroit the same night to get me into the hospital. And it was just, the whole point of me sharing all this is like my brain had just got to the point where it is stuck on certain thoughts. And it's like, if I don't resolve this thought in this particular way, the perfectionism, I've now dug myself in a deeper hole, if that makes sense. Now I have to do this thing and this thing on top of the thing I didn't do, or I did do it, but I didn't do it in the time I should have done it. And it's just like such a heavy burden, bro. So I'm in the hospital just, and I think this was the point that God had brought me to. And this is getting back around to a question of yours. This, I think, was a huge point in giving me eternal perspective. This was the moment where I'm like, Reggie, perfectionism and approval seeking and people pleasing has been your guardian up to this point. This has helped you overcome any feelings you had from your parents' divorce, any lack of self-value that you had from being bullied as a kid, everything that you've been doing up to this point. This has been your guardian, and this has helped you in some ways. But now you're seeing the bad ends of perfectionism. Now you're seeing the bad ends of approval seeking. They can no longer parent you. You need me, son. That's what I felt God saying to me. So that's how I got broken of the perfectionism, the approval seeking, the people pleasing. Because yes, it will bring me accomplishment. It will bring me achievement. But if you don't have the internal rest of your soul, that's what everybody's looking for, bro. People aren't trying to get money. They're trying to get what money brings you. People aren't trying to get power. They're trying to get what power brings you. Like, most people are just looking for security. You're looking for security in a relationship. You're not looking for just sex. You're looking for intimacy, or you're looking for pleasure. You're looking to feel good. And God is saying, I have all that. All these ways that you're trying, sex, relationships, money, American dream, achievement, fame, TikTok followers, like they may fill you for a time, but they're not the root issue. You're trying to take, you know, Advil for your headache, but you're not solving the issue of your soul that makes you have the headaches. You can't alleviate the symptoms. You have to get to the root. And so me going to the hospital was that for me. It's now time for me to allow God to parent me, and with real love, real truth and joy, and not be parented by perfection.
Man, Reggie, literally, One, thank you so much for sharing that, because I'm sitting here like, man, why? Like, you never know what somebody else goes through. And me being in a locker room, you being in a locker room, your situation, the people around you probably didn't know. And I'm thinking about anybody watching, your family, your friends, there's people going through real things. And it goes back to what you said. Mm-hmm. You prayed. There's a lot of times you forget about the prayers that you made. But when you went to the G League, when you started literally in Idaho, you prayed for, you know, God to surround you with, you know, great people. You had that in roommates, but he didn't stop answering that prayer for them to find you some, for that Filipino to be on your mind, to push you, to keep having that mindset, having somebody come take you from Detroit to Grand Rapids, back to Detroit, and having a community to hold you. Like, while you're in that time, to have your now wife hold you while you're in that time and stick with you and stick, like, bro, that was powerful, bro. And so thank you for sharing that. I got a question, because there's a lot of people, and it's weird. And when I say this, it sounds weird, but it's almost a privilege to know, like, you know, you're a bright individual, to know what it was, the approval, the acceptance, that type of thing that you were always striving for. But if I'm someone listening, how do I go? There's something that you just said, the root cause. How do I go about finding the root cause? If, you know, these stubborn stories in our head are the narratives that drive us to do the thing, like, how does one go about identifying the story that causes them to do certain things and act a certain way? How do you think, in your opinion, that you do that?
That's a great question. There's two things that come to mind for me. Me personally, just because I love Jesus Christ and I believe the Christian faith and God himself are the source of life. I believe going to him helps you to see yourself for who you truly are. If you don't really know the man, if you don't really know his life, if you don't really know what he did and what he said, then you're probably not getting a good idea of who God really is. That's number one, coming to him through prayer. But number two, practically speaking, if that's not something that's comfortable for you, because I think there's a lot of people who have been hurt by things done in the Christian name. I think therapy is a great start. Therapy needs to continue to be destigmatized. We all need therapy because we all have blind spots. Like, there's parts of you that you can't see. You need other people to help you see yourself and the world more for how it is. We only have our own perspective, really. I just got done officiating a wedding for two very dear people in my life. And one of the things I said is, like, you guys are created in marriage to stand opposite each other. That's what you're doing now. So there's things that she can see over here right now that he can't. There's things that he can see right at that moment that she can't see. Like, I think God designed it purposely because you can't see everything around you. But together, they have a more complete picture of everything that's going on. So you have to have people, and I think therapists, like, they're the study of the brain and how people work, psychology, they're schooled in that, and it's okay. And particularly among men, like, it's getting better, but there needs to be less of a stigma around therapy. Like, we have to be able to talk to each other. We have to be able to have a space where we can be vulnerable and really share what's going on inside of us and explore what's going on inside of us in a place that's not judgmental, the word judgment. Okay. Because that's a word that goes around. Only God can judge me. Don't judge me. I feel judged. I get that. But when people are saying that, they're meaning judgment in the terms of condemnation. They don't want to be condemned for who they are. But if you and I are playing on a team, I should be able to make certain judgments about you. When I make a judgment, all I'm doing is identifying what's going on. If I say, Norins, you're not making any shots right now. Like, I should be able to, you know, hold you accountable in that way. If you get in there with a therapist, they might make some judgments, but it's not in condemnation. It's to help you sift and identify. It's an identification thing. What's really going on inside of me? Most of our lives is lived unconsciously, right? You and I got up in the morning. You probably didn't consciously think, I am brushing my teeth. I am tying my shoes. I am putting on my clothes. You did all that without thinking. So that's probably 95%+ of our lives that's lived underneath the surface, not consciously at this moment thinking my right foot is touching the floor. But all this stuff is in your brain. So we need help. Why did I start acting this way based off of, you know, this memory? That girl left me. Oh, from that point on, I made this decision that I'm not going to let girls hurt me no more. This is why I act the way I do. Like, it's just, there's a huge depth to like our brain and why we act the way we do. And most of the time, it's not a conscious choice. Vulnerability. That's what we have to do.
That's what we have to do.
Hey, Genix, you going off?